Good morning. Well, bear with us. We have a number of things to share with you this morning. And the first thing is we thought of thousands of reasons you might want to be engaged in camp, thousands and thousands of them. But we narrowed it down to three. Reason number three is?
Find a husband.
Reason number two is to be a found husband. And reason number one is in this bag. It's a game we play at camp. Called Flabbergasters. It's one of our favorites. We actually did meet at camp in 1992, and that was at Muskoka Woods Sports Resort. And Val chased me and chased me and chased me, and a few years later, I stopped running. We got married in 1998. And thanks to Steve for mentioning sort of our connection to what we do, what we have done at Mishawa. And this summer, we'll be up there again, not leading canoe trips, but I'll be speaking at one of the children's camps, so our family will be there, and two of our kids will be in camp, which will be nice. Today, we'd like to share with you a number of stories and observations and maybe lessons that we have drawn from camp over the years, and we hope that that's an encouragement to you.
Good morning. I've had the opportunity to be involved in camp throughout my life, and as I reflected on all the impact that it's had on me, I made a list of reasons of why camp is important to me. So the photos that I'll show are of Camp Mishawa. And for those of you who've been to any camp, I hope that these photos will help bring back some great memories for you. So camp is a place to be saturated with the presence of God. Camp Mishawa is an incredibly beautiful place. It's a place to come away from what is familiar and refocus. It's a place to know God and make Him known to others. It's a place to allow God to speak life-changing words to you. Camp is also a safe place where you can be yourself or someone else. Camp is a place to serve with a happy heart. Camp is a place to laugh and make others laugh. Camp is a place to try out new skills that should not be tried at home. Camp is a place to get away from it all. Not Steve escaping for a few minutes. Camp is a place to wear your favorite clothes. Or not. Camp is a place to be helped by your handsome prince. Camp is a place to try something that you've never done before. Camp is a place to feel special. It's a place to meet our God, to see His mighty hand at work in the beauty of creation. To feel His love wash over you like waves upon the lake. And it's a place to be still, just to be still, and know that He is God. Well, I have a story for you. Raise your hand if you'd like to swim. Lots of swimmers out there. How many of you would say you can swim lengths kind of back and forth in a pool? Okay. And maybe for the kids here, what would be about the number of lengths that you would swim on a pretty good day? what would be the number of lengths that you would feel comfortable swimming? Shout them out. Not sure. Adults, what's a number of lengths that would, on a good day, would be a lot of lengths for you to swim? One, two. Well, this summer, our friend swam not 52 meters, not 52 lengths of a pool, but 52 kilometers across Lake Ontario from Niagara-on-the-Lake to Toronto. And she did that to raise money for an organization in Niagara that brings underprivileged kids into a place where they can be safe and maybe learn some skills in swimming. Now, that, when I calculated it out, is over 2,000 lengths of a swimming pool, something like Lyle Hallman or Forest Heights here. So I think of how hard that would be to do without touching. Yet in her crossing, the last 5 hours of her swim were in 5, 6, and 7 foot waves. So just an incredible feat for her to accomplish. So this is a picture of her at the end. She did make it across. And you can Google her name for some TV coverage of her crossing if you're interested in reading more. So I'm gonna have those of you kind of in the front here, just get up on your knees and show me your arms of front crawl. Very nice, very nice. So if you were to swim as, keep going. As you were to swim as long as our friend Christine did, you would have to continue these front crawl arms all the way through lunch, all the way this afternoon, through supper, through your bedtime hour. You would have to be swimming all through the night, and you would be able to stop swimming when the bell rang for school tomorrow morning. You can stop. The crossing took 22 hours, and that's, I think, a very good time for her crossing. So now you say, Val, nice story, but what does that have to do with camp? Well, John and I met Christine Arsenault at camp. She was a lifeguard at Camp Cockwell, which is the Brethren in Christ camp just north of Huntsville. She lifeguarded there in her teens, and then more recently, she returned as a single mom to family camp. And I met up with Christine this week, and it's the first time I've seen her since her swim. We wanted to take part in the swim. We wanted to be in the boat as she was crossing and encourage her, but we were unable to. We were away this summer. But what she shared with me this week, you won't read in any newspaper article about her or in any TV coverage that there is of her. She told me how incredibly discouraged she was 2 weeks before the swim. She had trained immensely, but had huge doubts about it, wondering if she could really fulfill her dream and complete the distance. So she decided to go back to camp, a place that had been an anchor in her life, where she had met God and knew him to be real and found encouragement in some of her darkest days. Like this photo shows, a boat is anchored to keep it from drifting. Camp provides a place where we can lay down spiritual anchors. And though we may drift, we keep coming back to the place of commitment, where we knew with certainty that God is real, he is good, and he is to be trusted fully. In the week at camp, just before her swim, Christine was surrounded by friends and mentors who had known her over the years at camp as a swimmer. They surrounded her with love and story after story of her perseverance, her dedication, and memories of all the times she would get up early to swim and the many, many hours she had spent at camp training. John will actually tell you of a time where John got in the rowboat and Christine towed him across the lake. So Christine this week told me that these lifelong friends had filled her up with all the support and confidence she needed to get into Lake Ontario that next week. So camp experiences for me, and I'm sure for many of us here, have been a setting down of spiritual anchors, a place where we've heard God clearly speak, and we have responded by saying, from this point forward, by your help, God, I choose to live differently.
In addition to those anchors that Val talked about, I'd like to share with you some reasons to continue to engage in camp and support camp. One of the big ones for me is how camp is a place for to develop your leadership skills and to develop a heart for service. It's a place where campers can kind of spread their wings for the first time, away from mom and dad, or staff can spread their wings in new ways and try things on their own and start to build who they are, make choices for themselves. For me, camp includes a lot of firsts. I first learned to water ski, even though I was afraid to do that. I first slept under the stars, even though we cut a lot of ferns down and slept on them. We wouldn't do that these days. We're a little more environmentally sensitive. I played guitar in front of a campfire for the first time, although the singing was loud enough that, thankfully, they didn't hear the guitar. I remember the first time I prayed with a child, and I don't remember who that was or what was said, but I remember the feeling of that moment and that that mattered to them and that was also me spreading my wings. And then just various commitments to God, the vertical between me and him and between me and other people. Again, anchors, like Val said, that were laid down that made a difference in the time to come. And then a last first for me was having an accountability partner. It was built into the program at Muskoka Woods, and my accountability partner was a guy named Doug, who was also a counselor. And once a week or so, we would go out in a canoe, and we had certain questions we'd ask each other, and that was pivotal to experience that, to be challenged in your faith, but also then to go deeper in a relationship with someone. And then years later, you can call them back, and you have a more profound, deeper connection with that person. So you get to try on different responsibilities, and you have the freedom to fail at camp, and then to try again and to succeed. And I just think it's a real hub to develop young people. Just a quick little story. You know the name Harold Albrecht. He was the camp director of Camp Kakwa the first time I ever went to camp. I was just turned 8 years old, and I remember a moment with him when I was walking down this trail. The trail was hot. The heat was coming up off the building beside me, and he was wearing a blue shirt, and the lake was to my right, and the hill went off to my right, and he came up and he greeted me, and he checked in to see if I was doing okay, and then off he went. And you think that's not a profound moment, but just that moment where a leader acknowledges you and then cares for you, and you have interactions like that where you start to catch a vision for who you want to be as a leader, and you meet more and more people like that. So I voted for him. No, I couldn't. He wasn't in my district, but that was just a small moment that reminded me of how you catch a vision for who you can become as a leader at camp.
So after first year university, I worked at Muskoka Woods as a lifeguard. And each Wednesday night, I remember the director's wife would meet with the lifeguards on staff. And she really poured into us her love. She developed in us a strong sense that we were leaders in training and that God had great plans for our lives. And little did I know the power of those words and the leadership opportunities ahead of me in the next few years. The following summer, I attended a leadership training camp in Austria for 5 weeks and learned how to lead and follow in some pretty challenging situations. Our classroom was the Austrian Alps. Many leadership principles were practiced as we backpacked many, many kilometers with very heavy backpacks. We climbed, we rappelled, and we persevered through some challenging conditions. One day we hiked into a cave. It was 4 degrees Celsius. It's cold. It was absolutely black. After being in the cave for what I thought was long enough, we were told to turn on our flashlights just for a moment to get out our sleeping bags because we would be staying the night. It was cold. It was completely dark. It was damp, and there was constant dripping. So learning how to follow someone else had never been harder for me. 3 years later, I sensed God calling me to Russia for a year. I was asked to co-lead a team, which I agreed to, knowing when you co-lead, you only take partial responsibility for the decisions that are made. However, halfway through our time there, my co-leading partner needed to return to America. So I, at 24, was left with the responsibility of providing leadership to a team in a very foreign land. So I'm so thankful for the experiences earlier in my life at camp, of people building into my life, of learning what it means to seek God, depend on Him. This gave me the confidence I think I needed that God was with us and our ministry, by God's total grace, flourished in Russia. I feel this all began by someone at camp taking an interest in me and developing the leader in me. I want to talk just for a moment to those of you who are in high school or college or university, and you're looking at work for the summer. If God calls you to work here in the city, you need to do that. I worked a lot of summers to get through university, and they all kind of blend together with very few highlights and actually very few memories. But the summers that I got out of the city, I will never, never regret. I earned much less, but I received much, much more. So under the heading of reasons to support camp, here's another example. As Steve has shared, each Monday afternoon between 4 and 5:30, we open our doors at the church here to kids in grades 1 to 6 in the community. The simple opening of our doors has given us as a church, and me personally, the opportunity to be involved in the lives of different families in our community. For example, the young mom that's been mentioned in the bulletin the last couple weeks, who's in need of a few practical things, has felt God's love in a special way through your help. Her siblings have been involved in Kids Club Monday night here for years. And yesterday, my family had the opportunity to be at her home, give her a hug, and a gift from someone in our congregation. And she was so thankful. So a little plug. There are 4 adults here regularly on a Monday night, and we need more. 4 adults is enough to keep the roof on, but not enough to sit down and build relationships with the kids who come regularly. Between 20 and 30 kids probably come each week. So if God puts it on your heart to help us, then say yes. You will be blessed. Kids aren't looking for someone cool. They're looking for someone consistent. They're not looking for someone to ask all the right questions. They're just looking for someone who will listen to them. So if you're interested, talk to Steve. And then, as it's been mentioned, if Monday nights isn't an option for you, then if you could send a few dollars through the offering to send one of them to camp, maybe they'd be able to experience some of what I've shared this morning.
Just a couple more thoughts about why to continue supporting camp ministry and why it's so essential in our view. Obviously, like Steve said, there's so many kids that make that first-time commitment to Christ at camp. It speaks for itself. And if you want to hear specific stories about that, talk to any of the staff who can tell you about the kids that they have known and prayed with. But the last reason I want to throw your way is think about 1 week at camp as this intensified experience of community. So if you take part in some kind of weekly program, say even here, you come for an hour or 2 or 3 hours a week, you add up that time together, it takes you a lot of weeks and months and years to get to the amount of time you spend together with campers and staff at camp. So 1 week at camp is really like spending a year with someone. And a summer at camp is really, in some people's lives, like spending a lifetime together. 2 Timothy, and when you spend that time together, you see each other. It's not just your best hour of the week. It's your best and worst times. And then through those best and worst times, you see people live out their Christ-like, or not so Christ-like, lives. And when you catch a glimpse of what that's like for someone who's really walking in faith through that time, then that's, I think that's why kids say yes to Christ, because they're like, I want to be like that. So they experience community for maybe the first time and maybe the only time in their lives. 2 Timothy 3:14 reads, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And I think that's what they experience at camp, and then they continue on with it, just like we read in 2 Timothy. The last section we'd like to share with you this morning is what I call a rule of life. Here's the camp schedule, typically. Maybe Steve, sorry if I missed the odd thing, but that's okay. It gives you kind of an impression of what the schedule is like at camp if you've never taken part in children's camp. You rise fairly early. There's rituals around the flagpole, maybe O Canada, maybe some chants or cabin kind of things. There's breakfast. There's you clean the cabin. There's cabin devotions. Going to my other hand, there's staff devotions for the co-counselor who can be away. There's chapel. There's games. There's lunch. For the children, there's a time they call zap, zero activity period after lunch. Okay, 11. There's skills. There's free time. There's supper. There's wide games. There's tuck. There's campfire. There's wind down time, and there's sleep. We're almost at 20 structured parts of the day that makes up the typical schedule at camp. And of those, how many of those are times specifically built in for God? Grace at meals, staff devotions, cabin devotions, chapel teaching, worship, campfire, personal stories, maybe end-of-day conversations in prayer, and maybe I've missed some. But, you know, there's six right there that are carved into the schedule, and this is what I'd like to sort of send you off with today. It's kind of like the Christian monks and their rule of life, you know, that they get up early and there's certain prayers and certain times of the day when they carve out a space for God. And camp is like that, and I think that anyone that takes part in that learns that through experience, and they benefit from that. And it's kind of like the monks would do, and we know they benefit from that. James 4:8 is, come near to God, and he will come near to you. And I love that how that structure at camp teaches campers and staff what it's like when you build a structure into your day that enables you to draw near to God. Many young people come away from camp and they say, well, it's just been this mountaintop experience for me. I feel so motivated. I feel so invigorated. I feel like I'm on the right track, like Gavin referred to, and that's great heading into high school. And I know part of that is from the fun and the positive relationships. It's a big part of it. But I think that underpinning that is that camp provided that structure for them to draw near to God. And then a lot of kids will then forge the habit, and they will continue that, and others won't. And that's why some, when they get home, they fall off the mountain, and others find a way to incorporate that structure into their life to continue to draw near to God. So my challenge for us today is just to take a moment to reflect and ask ourselves, well, what was my week like last week with respect to the structure I'm talking about? What will our weeks look like next week? What would a rule of life or a structure in your life look like that would enable you to more consistently draw near to God? A few years ago, we went camping with the Robothams, and there's kids everywhere. Because we have three, and they have like 14. And no, it just seems like it. And they were younger, and we had two campsites, but they were beside each other, and there's just so much going on. And I'll never forget how Andrew would just take his chair and just put it over there and just take a few minutes and just find a quiet time. And probably I ended up doing more dishes because of it, but it's okay, I forgive you. But, you know, if you asked him about that, he'd say, well, I have to. I just have to. Jesus moved away, right? He found a quiet place. Sometimes he had to go to the other side of the lake. Can't do that at Camp Mishawa. The lake's too big. But there's lots of places where you can get to find a quiet place. What would it take for you to build a time or times like that into your day, a structure for your day that will enable you to draw near to God like you know you need to? Will you rise early? Or do you rise early? Do you need to stay up later? Will you journal? Is that something that is critical for you? What will your prayer look like within that structure? Will you read more scripture in one sitting, or will you read less scripture but let it go deeper? Maybe read the same scripture over multiple days so that it has more of a different impact each day. Here's one more for you. Will you put down the news and pick up the word? There's habits like that we have, but they crowd out the drawing near to God. And so there's discipline that we reap the benefits from. As a teacher, I teach grade 5 this year. And it's just so vivid for me. If I rise early, let's just say an hour earlier than what I would maybe prefer to, and have a quiet time to my morning, whatever it is that I do during that, whatever that prayer looks like, Bible reading, journaling, whatever. If it's 15 minutes, if it's 30 minutes, if it's more, every single day I can look back at the day and say, I totally see how God worked in my day. Even if it was a really hard day, I feel sustained in that. And then that could be true of any setting, right? And then the days when I don't do that, God is still faithful, but I reap the consequences of that. They're not the same. They never are. So in the midst of all of the images that you've taken in about camp today, which has been great, and the fun songs and the stories that each person has shared, I hope that that's an inspiration to you to reflect again on what is the discipline, what is the structure of my day or my week, and does it build in, like camp, like we learn to do at camp, does it build in times to draw near to God? And then I hope that that's something that you draw great strength from this week. Thank you.